Senate Government Operations, April 12, 1991, 3 o'clock p.m., Hearing Room B, Public Hearing and Possible Work Session on Senate Bill 1060, Work Session on Senate Bill 548 and Senate Bill 652, Tape 62, Side A.
Government Operations Committee will come to order. Senator Otto had to go to Portland and is not here. And for that reason, I am going to wait and not take any work session on Senate Bill 652. And I'm going to start first with a work session on Senate Bill 548, and then we'll have a hearing on 1060, and whatever that produces, we'll see about a work session with that. We have amendments on Senate Bill 548. We have two sets of amendments. One set of amendments was being worked out by a consensus group. I'm not sure quite who all those were, John. Who worked out the
spokesperson for the group is Chuck Pearson from Washington County. The group consisted of the realtors, planners, and LCDC.
Okay. And then we also have a set of amendments that are from the realtors, right, General? And they're here in legislative council form. So let's start.
Yeah.
Let's start and go over all of that. We already had, dash one.
Yeah.
But
up to four, didn't you?
Right, well, no, up to three.
Four and six.
Madam Chair, the dash four amendments represent a consolidation of the issues addressed by the previous three sets of amendments in a single set of amendments.
Okay. But it doesn't include the dash sixes.
No, it does not.
Who wants to start?
Madam Chair, Chuck Pearson, Washington County Surveyor. Senate Bill 548 was originally drafted by the Oregon Association of County Engineers and Surveyors, basically as a housekeeping bill, and we've had other people with interest in this bill, and at the public hearing held on this bill the last time, we asked for some time to go back and meet with the Oregon Association of Realtors, the planners, the county clerks, the representative from DLCD. I don't know if there's anybody else. We've done that. I believe that we've worked out all of the concerns that we had and the clerks had and the county planners had, and those are all reflected in the dash four amendments. We actually have three sets of amendments that you need to consider. One is the dash two that was submitted in the original.
Will you hang on just a minute?
Sure.
I don't think it's possible for our committee assistant to keep accurate records with everything that's going on over there around her. What is the problem?
Madam Chairman, we need copies of the dash four, five, and six.
Okay. Let's hold up until you get copies of the of all the amendments, and then she will be able to give her attention to making sure that we have an adequate record of the proceedings, since it may be
complicated. C2, did he refer to 2?
Is that?
I don't know how many copies of it I have, though.
I thought we were only working with the 4 and the 6. We're not working with one, right?
Madam Chair, that's correct. One.
Dash fours take the place of everything in front of them, right?
Dash two was an amendment that nobody had any problem with at the time it was submitted, and we still don't have any problem with. We're all in concurrence in dash two.
Okay. Let me see if the dash two, John, is in the dash four.
I'll check that.
Why don't you check that?
Yeah, I thought the intent was to put the dash twos and the dash fours. But
that's what legislative council did. Then what dash four does is pick up everything, which is what I thought it did. Not that I'm totally familiar with this, you understand.
The dash four appears to jump from amendments on page 14 to.
It should have been.
page 18, so I don't believe the dash two are incorporated
okay,
in there.
Well, if it's going to be all right with the committee, then we're probably going to ask it to be run, definitely going to ask it to be run by Legislative Council, and if that's okay to have the twos included. Okay? Now, tell us about it.
The dash four amendments. As I stated earlier, the Senate Bill 548 made some housekeeping changes, and the dash four amendments the first section dealing with page 1, line 28 adds a sentence to the definition of what partition land is, and I had an occasion, and the reason this was added into it, I had an occasion with a city that felt that the dedication of a street between two parcels of property sufficed to partition property and that they didn't have to go through any land use hearings. The definition of partition land has an exception in there under ORS 92010, paragraph C, which states a sale or grant by a person to a public agency or public body for state highway, county road, etc., is not included in the definition of partition land. And they took this definition to say that we can partition property without that. Paragraph C in 010 was originally added to keep the state highway department from having to go through a partition process every time they added 20 or 30 feet of right-of-way to the freeway or to any other county road system. This was happening in Lane County. The addition of the definition language on line 28 of page 1 on the dash 1 amendments would preclude people from dividing property without land use procedures by the separation of that property by a road. Section 3 was previously in the bill as Section 3, and because of the extensive amendments to it, was just redrafted in here. It provides on a subdivision or partition plat a formal section of the plat, if you will, where the declarant of the plat is defined as the owner or whoever is causing the subdivision or partition plat to be created and puts a formal wording to the declaration. In the past, it's been commonly referred to as the dedication, but people objected to that term when there was no public dedication of property. This provides that if the declarant is not the fee owner of the property, the fee owner and the vendor under any instrument of sale shall also execute the declaration. There's another provision in paragraph 3 in section 3 of the dash 4 amendments that provides if there's any dedication or donation of land to public purposes, the holder of any mortgage must also sign the subdivision plat or record an affidavit with the county clerk stating that he is in concurrence with this. We've had a problem in the southern part of the state where a bank repossessed a subdivision and said, we didn't dedicate those streets, so there is no public dedication to them, but yet there were actually streets out there. A lot of the rest of it is getting into some housekeeping again. I'd like to draw your attention to...
DMS now.
Did you have a question, Senator
no,
Spreer?
I'm sorry.
Friday afternoon.
Oh.
Sorry.
I'd like to draw your attention to page 7 of the bill. At the top
of the printed bill.
Of the printed bill.
Okay.
We had discussed this particular paragraph last time in that many jurisdictions now are requiring a tremendous amount of information to be shown graphically on subdivision plats. Building setback lines, floodplain lines, things that are subject to administrative change or variance. But once they're on the plat, they remain on that plat forever. There's never any procedure to remove those lines from the plat. So it causes a title problem down the road. We put in paragraph 11 and have since negotiated with the planners and have come up with language that would basically, and this is on the dash four amendments, Where did it go?
Page 2, line 20 and 21.
Right. No.
Of the amendment. No?
No. 23. After show.
Okay.
After show, we would insert graphically. That's line 2. Page 7, line 1, we delete the words enact any ordinance or regulation requiring and insert require. And on the second line after show, insert the word graphically. So the sentence would read, no city or county shall require that a final subdivision, condominium, or partition plat show graphically on the final plat any information or requirement that may be, that is or may be subject to administrative change or variance by a city or county. This takes the lines off the plat but allows the city or county to note on the plat in a note format that would say lots 1 through 10 are subject to special setback requirements. See your planning department before you do your building plans.
Senator Smith?
You said it allows the city to do that?
It would allow the city or county to show the restrictions in a graph, not in a non-graphical form, in a note format, if you will, or in a plat restriction format, if you will.
They're drawing pictures.
Yes.
They write words.
And the words can be put in the term, and the city of Beaverton has done this, to the effect that, say, lot 5 is subject to a solar easement that may be granted a variance by the city upon application, so that the language is there that allows, provides the notice that this can be changed, and it's not just the line on the plat that says solar setback line, and that's how it's shown now. There are some changes to the water rights statements currently under Oregon law. If there's a water right appurtenant to the property, you have to get the information from the Water Resources Department. You have to get an acknowledgement. That acknowledgement has to be recorded. That information subsequently has to be placed in the plat. This was passed in the 1987 legislature, I believe, and I've talked to Rick Bastash and Steve Applegate at the Water Resources Department. They concur that from their point of view that it's not working well, and from the county clerk's point of view, it's very difficult to record a document in May and then try and find that document to make a note of it in October. The new language would require that if there's a water right appurtenant to the plat, that it be noted on the plat, and the certificate, the water rights certificate number be noted on the plat. That takes care of the Water Resources Department and eliminates a lot of the work for the clerks.
Where is this?
Where is that language?
Okay.
In the amendment?
Yes. Line 17, page 2 is part
the
of it.
The amendment?
Yes.
Okay.
I'm sorry.
Oh, there it is.
And that's
page 4 of the bill.
We delete line 23 through 25 with the exception of the water right. So the statute would still require the jurisdiction to require that this information be shown and filed, but that it we don't have to go through this recording of an acknowledgement. There's a subsequent paragraph on the water rights. I can find it. I can never find it when I want it. Would be on page 13 of the printed bill. Lines 30 through 32.
Which is on page 3 of the amendments, line 16.
Yes, thank you. Mm-hmm. You know your way around these more than I do, I can tell.
And I this have to keep up with what somebody's getting, trying to make me do.
I can certainly appreciate that.
I want to know.
This is the acknowledgement that I was speaking of that has to be recording. If you notice in lines 26 through 28, it requires the county recording officer shall not accept for filing a plat of a subdivision or partition for a parcel of land without a copy of the acknowledgement. And this is the acknowledgement from the Water Resources Department. When people have even been notified or have notified the Water Resources Department, they have been lax or remiss, if you will, sometimes in getting that paperwork back to the developer or the applicant in a timely manner, and have caused delays in recording of subdivision plats. They're perfectly content with removing this language.
Any other questions, Senator Smith?
What's the point of this acknowledgement?
The Water Resources Department is attempting to track water rights and property and what's happening to those water rights as property is divided. Somebody may have a water right to irrigate 80 acres that may be subdivided into a housing project, and all of a sudden that water right is unnecessary. But as they have their priority water rights, they may say that because of this 80 acres hasn't been removed, that somebody else may not be able to get a water right because of the amount of subsurface water and surface water in Oregon. That's as I understand it.
We revised all of that part, I think, in 1987 when I chaired that committee.
I believe that's correct.
Senator Smith. So is it still necessary to notify the Department of Water Resources, but not under your amendments, is not necessary for Water Resources to file a statement that they've been notified, basically?
Madam Chair, Senator Smith, that's correct. The acknowledgement of the from the Water Resources Department is not required any longer and does not have to be recorded with the county clerk's office.
All right,
thank you. There's some other language dealing with recording of information with the clerks on page 14 of the printed bill. Lines 19 through 23 is being amended.
On page 14, lines 19 through 23, that doesn't show up in the amendment. Mm-hmm. On page 14 in the amendments, it's line 11, line 20, line 21.
That's correct. I'm sorry.
Right. Yeah.
Lines 20 and 21. This is a requirement that on property line adjustments, which would be required to be surveyed if they're 10 acres or under this bill, and requiring that the information be filed in the deed records of the county in which the property line adjustment is done. This language came from the County Clerks Association and includes all of the information that is required as a result of that property line adjustment for to be in the deed records. I hope I didn't confuse
Senator
anybody.
Senator Springer.
Yeah, let me, on that same page 14 of the printed bill, you proposed some new language on line 11. Are you still proposing that new sentence that says that any utility company that desires to maintain an easement subject to vacation under this section must notify the governing body within 14 days of the mailing or other service of the notice?
Madam Chair, Senator Springer, that's correct.
We checked with the utility people who might be affected as to how they feel about having that responsibility.
I've checked with the... In my office in Washington County, we handle all of the public dedications, and it's a proactive thing. Right now, a vacation can just take place just by noticing to them, and if they don't respond or they do respond, there's no requirement that they respond just to say that we need an easement. This just sets a time limit, basically. If they would not respond to a proposed vacation by a replat, then the easement would go away automatically. This just puts the 14 days on them to respond. If you'd feel more comfortable with something other than 14 days, we could certainly do that, but we picked a time limit.
Well,
Well, I get just a little nervous.
I'm getting a lot nervous about this whole thing because I see people who haven't seen the amendment sitting out there trying to make sure that they're all together. We got another set of amendments that needs to be included, and we're still going to have a discussion about the other amendments that I'm not sure people agree on, and they amend the printed bill but not the other amendments. And I'm wondering if the thing to do isn't to go through all of these, to get legislative council to combine everything that the committee wants to combine and make sure that we're having another hearing. Of course, I'm not the chair of the committee, but my recommendation would be to have another hearing on whatever the number of that set of amendments is. We get them back so that people know ahead of time that it's all together and it's that number of amendments that they all need to look at.
Madam Chair, if I might,
that would be my
dash four is one philosophy, and dash six
is
another philosophy. So the only combining might be the dash two and the dash four. And as I may be speaking out of turn, but I don't believe there's anybody opposed to the dash four amendments.
That's not our question. Our question is everybody that needs to look at the dash four amendments that may not have been in on the group been included? And you're saying?
We have quite a contingent from the Professional Land Surveyors of Oregon, and I.
Utilities were just asked about.
The chairman of PLSO is here. I don't believe we've discussed a lot of these amendments with a lot of different people, and the format of the dash four amendments is basically from the dash one amendments with some minor changes. There's not significant differences. The one significant difference is putting section three into the dash four instead of trying to amend it line by line. I think that was the significant, one of the significant issues that John helped us with. But whatever you'd like to do, of course, we'd like to get on with it.
Senator Smith, well, I'm sure you would, and we all would, but I don't want to do something that we're not clear everyone is comfortable with. Senator Smith?
Well, for me, Madam Chair, this is a fairly complicated bill to begin with, and we've got some major, major amendments here in terms of sheer volume, and it's a lot to try to absorb in this work session going through here and then try to make some form of decision. Have local governments been a part of your working group? Are they comfortable with these amendments? Counties, cities?
We have representatives from the County Clerks Association and from the planners.
Like Oregon Cities Associate, the county.
I've had no direct contact with the League of Oregon Cities, but this is.
If I might, Madam Chair, the Association of Oregon Counties approached me and asked that an individual representing the County Planners Association be included in the work group, and we did include the president of the County Planners Association in the work group. So to that extent, the counties had an individual representing them on the work group. I don't believe we had anybody there from the League of Oregon Cities.
Some of these amendments that came out in the dash one and the dash four amendments are the result of conversations with some of the cities, including primarily the city of McMinnville, who had some. If you're going to get in and change it, let's make sure that it says the instead of they or something of that nature. They were purely technical. They had no problem with any of the substantive portions of the bill. I've heard absolutely nothing from any of the other cities. We've talked to the city of Portland. We've talked to Multnomah County, to the city of McMinnville. And I don't know of any other cities that city of Hillsborough has seen them, and I don't think they've got any problem with them. I can't speak for every city in the state, of course.
Okay. Now, the dash four amendments have been around for a couple of days. Okay. But I just tell you, I don't think we're going to be able to move the bill today.
The remainder of the dash four amendments, basically pages four through nine, are very, very, very minor amendments. I'd point out on page 4, line 16 is just changing a true to an exact. That was a recommendation by the city of McMinnville, and this is the type of amendment that I've been getting, and that just makes the language similar to other language in the statute. On page 5, there's only one word to change, and that's a surveyor's affidavit to a certificate, which is the proper term under the definition. And then again, an exact from a true. At the bottom of the page, page 6 allows fees for checking of subdivision and partition plats to be set by resolution or order, rather than requiring the more expensive ordinance process for a city or county.
This is, Madam Chair?
Yes, Senator Smith.
This is a fee for what?
This is a fee for the city or county surveyor to do the mathematics check, go into the field and review the subdivision, make sure that all of the monuments are properly placed, that there's no encroachments, that there's nothing that's going to adversely affect the potential buyer of that particular lot. We go through a rather extensive review process. We review the survey that was done, all of the mathematics on it, the ownership of the property to make sure the people are there, make sure all the easements that are of record are noted on the plat.
So this allows a city to raise or lower the fee to the builder.
That's correct.
By resolution on consent calendar rather than going through a public hearing and ordinance process.
That's correct, and this is a change that I was requested by Washington County to place in here.
How do the homeowners feel about that?
Where is he? How do the home builders feel about that? What's his name?
Well, apparently
Senator
they don't
Smith.
Care about it.
Sorry, a little distraction there.
There's no change in page 7 of the dash 4. It's just continuing the remainder of the paragraph, and no change in page 8. And page 9 merely changes affidavit to certificate to comply with the law. So we're really dealing from a substantive point with pages 1 through 3 on the dash 4. And as I've said before, most of those changes are changes that have been prepared at the first public hearing and submitted. The one thing that's new, I could point out the things that are new if you'd like, Madam Chair.
Probably help.
Okay, lines 3 through 7, on or 3 through 6 on page 1 is something that's new. There's language that has been changed in section 3. I've got a hand-engrossed version of the bill that, for instance, in the first paragraph of section 3, it used to read, in order to submit any property to the provisions of this chapter, it now reads, in order to subdivide or partition.
Okay, get me caught up where you are right now.
I'm referencing section 3 on page 2 of the printed bill.
Okay. Oh,
which is a completely new section of the statute.
Oh, I'm sorry. You already mentioned that earlier. Okay.
And then we had originally, and if you read the first sentence on line 8 of the dash 4 amendments, I'll read the way that we had originally proposed it, and you can see that the changes are really not consequential. It used to say, in order to submit any property to the provisions of this chapter, comma, the declarant. Those are the types of changing. They're English changes, and they're grammatical. I'm not the world's greatest English person, and when I write something, the surveyors look at it, and they say, oh, it looks good to me, and then other people that have a little more understanding of the language get a hold of it and suggest something different. And those are the types of changes. So Section 3 is a redraft of the Section 3 in the printed bill.
Yes.
We've changed on page 3 of the printed bill.
We didn't already go over that?
Well, we did. I'm just trying to point out the things that have changed from the Dash 1 amendments.
Oh, okay.
If you'd like me to continue, if you wouldn't.
I'm sorry. I said I was having another conversation on another matter. Did you? Is that what you asked him to do, is to point out the changes, Senator Smith? I mean, that's what
I don't think I asked him.
Okay.
Sorry, Madam Chair. I thought that you had asked me that, but maybe I was mistaken. Okay.
I thought we were working our way through the amendments.
Yes,
we already went over Section 3 and all of the other
that's
stuff.
That's correct.
And I thought we were following along. I couldn't figure out why we were going back to the beginning.
Okay.
Of the
I was
amendments.
Just trying to point out the difference between the Dash 1 amendments that were present at the first hearing and the Dash 4.
No, we don't want to even think about the Dash 1 amendments.
Okay.
May I ask the
Senator
witness?
Springer.
I think you indicated earlier, Chuck, that there's kind of a philosophical difference embodied in the Dash 4 amendments and the Dash 6 amendments. Can you maybe tell me what philosophy is embraced in the Dash 4 as opposed to the Dash 6? I guess someone's going to explain the Dash 6 amendments.
Yes, Madam Chair, Senator Springer, there's no philosophical difference between the Dash 4 amendments and the Dash 6 amendments. They're completely different issues.
Okay.
So I'll leave the Dash 6 amendments to...
Okay, I misunderstood. Thank you.
I've asked John to combine the other Dash 2 amendments, the DLCD... sheet and that big set of amendments, and to have them processed and drafted by Legislative Council for their comfort, and also the same thing separately with the Dash 6, just in case you find a vote, the fourth vote, because I'm not there either. but anyhow, I would say maybe you need. I don't even know how Senator Otto feels about it because he's not here. So, but we'll get it ready to go for the next time it's scheduled. Okay, John Gervais, Irene Colburn, and does Mr. Sansi want to come up as well? Okay. Hi. We're a subcommittee, but we're perfectly capable and legal of taking your testimony in a hearing on this.
Thank you, Senator Cease. For the record, my name is John Gervais, representing the National Electrical Contractors Association. We asked for the introduction of Senate Bill 1060, which, when it was drafted, did not turn out to be quite what we had hoped. Thus, the amendment Senator Springer was referring to, a clean bill. It's not a clean bill as such. But, thus, the amendment that further clarifies it. I have with me today, to talk about the reason for the need for the bill, with me Irene Colburn, from Linco Electric in Albany, Oregon, who is the Legislative Committee Chair of the National Electrical Contractors Association. I'd like to have her discuss the problems that their contracting firm has encountered in obtaining liability insurance as it relates to public contracting.
Thank you. Senator Cease, Committee, Senator Springer. When we...
Please testify to your name for the record. No one else can do that but you.
I'm sorry. All right. For the record, my name...
I can say it, but you are the one that...
For the record, my name is Irene Colburn.
Thanks.
We are asked, as contractors, to furnish a certificate of insurance before we start a project on in most cases. Certain agencies, public agencies that we work for, require to be named as an additional insured to the policy through the certificate. Normally, they also ask for their officers and employees to be named additional insureds, and in some cases, agents. The word agent is what has caused the problem, and what has happened is that a few months ago, our particular insurance company, in our case, said, what is an agent? Who are they referring to? This went through many channels, and it could not be defined. It went as far as the Attorney General's office, and no one could define the word agent. The insurance company said, we are willing to do this, but we have to know who we are naming as an additional insured. They simply wouldn't provide coverage unless it could be defined. As a result, in our particular case, they had to or did, cancel our complete blanket policy, and we were placed with another company. This is happening to other individuals as well, or companies, and I find that other insurance companies are questioning the same word. This bill would help define the word agent so that it would take care of that situation.
Is that what the amendment? Oh, I see.
If I may, Chair Cease, it asks that the state, whatever the contracting agent is, list their agent so that the insurance company has an idea of who the exposure, what the exposure is, rather. It doesn't actually define agent, but it requires a listing of agents, yes. We start out with an attempt to define agent, and that differs with every contracting public agency or city or county, and so to try to get a handle on that, the listing was an appropriate choice that Kathleen Buffet thought would work in her drafting efforts.
Okay. So we have the Dash 1 amendment.
Yes. Also, is Ray Sansing from Caroon and Black, who can talk about the several insurance companies are now canceling.
Go ahead.
For the record, my name is Ray Sansing from Caroon and Black Insurance in Portland, Oregon. And I work in the industry with an insurance agency with a number of client contractors. And we've seen a number of cases very similar to what happened with Linco Electric, where the requests for additional insured coverage extensions under the contracts resulted in an undefined situation that the underwriters, in order to be able to underwrite correctly, need to be able to know what it is that they're underwriting. As a result, it created difficulty for the contractors in being able to obtain coverage, obtain the necessary certificates to be able to do their job. And in some cases, resulted in the insurance carriers stating that because they could not define the exposures they were being asked to underwrite, that they could not accept those certificates and that the insurance would have to be moved before the job turned out.
Okay. John?
I was just going to say, there are very few agencies that do require agent in the public contracting area in terms of the insurance requirement. But for those that do, it is a problem, and this is a fair solution that gives them the ability to still define what they need in coverage, yet gives us an ability to tell the insurance company what we're covering. And this also has the support of the Associated General Contractors. Kim Mingo had to leave earlier, but they do support the concept. They are also experiencing.
What about the public agencies? Have you addressed that with anyone?
Talk to them. I'm sorry.
Have you talked to them?
Chair Cease, I've talked with several of them and told them about the problem, told them we had the bill, and asked them to come and get involved. And I thought there'd be some people here today, but.
Okay.
And I asked the insurance commissioner to get involved, and he said, well, this isn't that. I'm not sure insurance commissioner is the exact term for his title now under the department.
Division director.
Yes, right. Yeah. And he felt that there was no reason to get involved in it.
Okay. Thank you very much. I don't see anyone else who wishes to testify, so we will close the hearing on Senate Bill 1060, and if there's no further business for the day, we will adjourn.
Thank you.
Thank you.